trained in that. I've gone through a lot of death training, and I never felt like I was going to die, nor did I have a near-death experience at all. And as a matter of fact, I kept telling the doctors I was going to be okay, and they go, no, you're not. You're ready to die.
You proved them wrong.
So anyway, they medevaced me to Oahu, where they got my heart turned back around, and then they put in heart stents. And I was back out diving like in 2 months after that, and now 4 years later, I'm all checked out as healthy as can be.
Yes, that's pretty amazing. And so did they see any physiological or organic damage to your heart, or was it just electrical?
No, I mean, shit, I lost about 20 to 30% of my heart tissue.
Wow.
My heart basically, part of it dissolved. And they didn't figure I'd ever be able to, back to having a normal heart. But it's all completely healed and regrown. And I'm back just almost as if it never happened. So
yes, well,
pretty trippy.
That's a testament to the miraculous healing abilities that life has.
Well, you know, absolutely, Jeff. And also, too, I think it was a gift because I think what's happening to the whales and the dolphins are the same thing that happened to me.
Yes.
So it led me to a better understanding of what the military is doing underwater.
Yes. Well, look, let me just introduce the show. This is Jeff Phillips Weverson with On the Brink Radio. We're already into the show here with the illustrious Mr. Limpet, Terry Lilly, my beautiful underwater photographer, marine biologist friend who lives in Kauai, Hawaii, and goes all around the South Pacific on various adventures. But man, I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this. We've been trying to do another interview for a year, and it's long overdue, but it's good to hear your voice.
You know what, Jeff? It's actually been, we got a lot to discuss, because since I talked to you last time, you know, over a radio interview, I've been to, like 10 or 12 different countries studying coral reefs and marine life to try to better understand, you know, what's leading to the destruction of some of the ocean critters out there. So I've really been able to learn a lot over the past year.
Yes. Well, may I ask you, what, so far, what have your conclusions been on what you've found in common, or, you know, what have you learned in a nutshell from this work in the past year?
You know, it all kind of started last year, Jeff, in April of 2018, when here in Kauai, we had those devastating floods where we had the largest amount of rainfall ever recorded on Earth in 24 hours.
Yes.
And 51 inches of rainfall.
Yes.
And during that rain, my marine research center in Kauai, my home, and my dive boats all got washed out to sea.
Well, remember,
everything got washed.
I was supposed to be there at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you were, you might not be alive talking on the radio right now.
Exactly.
We had 15 feet of water come through and washed everything out to sea. And thank goodness I wasn't there that evening, or I wouldn't be talking on the radio right now either.
But didn't you know ahead of time that it was coming, and you got all your computers and stuff off your boat?
I actually had left the day before the flood to fly to Oahu to do a underwater shark series for National Geographic television show. So thank goodness I wasn't there. And I had all my computers and my hard drives and my cameras with me in Oahu. So when I lost my boat in my marine research center, I didn't lose anything, you know, of extreme value, just stuff that could be replaced. But we also lost the roadway, and the North Shore of Kauai has been shut down now for almost a year. So what that did is I couldn't do any work in Kauai. We couldn't get down the coastline. I didn't have a boat. And so I decided to travel, and I took a ship to go to a number of different countries. And so we went to Indonesia, Micronesia, Palau, French Polynesia. We went to all these different countries in the Pacific and in Indonesia. And the main focus was to do a movie of the coral reefs and marine life in these parts of the world, and also interview scientists and local fishermen and local divers that know these areas really well. And to make a long story short, Jeff, in these parts of the world that had extremely high sea temperatures, some of them have a real extremely high tourist rate, but in these parts of the world over the last 10 years, they did not suffer any coral bleaching, coral deaths, or marine life deaths like what we've had go on in Hawaii and Australia and New Zealand. So a lot of the world, even though there was an increase in sea temperatures, the coral reefs have been doing just fine. And so parts of the world, the coral reefs are going downhill, and we've had a lot of standings, you know, of the whales and dolphins that have been dying. So this is not a worldwide phenomena. It's a phenomena that's happening in certain geographic locations. And I think that makes it easier to figure out what's happening underwater and why these events are happening.
Yes. And so what do these geographic locations have in common?
You know what? This was really fascinating, Jeff. And when the University of Hawaii and a couple other universities came out with a theory a couple years back, that our coral reefs were dying because of a 2 to 3 degree rise in sea temperatures. Well, as a scientist and a diver and a surfer and a fisherman, that didn't make a lot of sense to me, because I've been all around the world studying coral reefs, and there's a lot of places where there's a summer to winter change in sea temperatures that's 5 to 6 degrees.
Absolutely.
There's even a lot of places where there's a change in tide on a day-by-day basis that has a fluctuation in sea temperatures. So when we were in Indonesia in an island chain called Wakatobi, I did, in a 30-day period of time, documented sea temperatures from 72 degrees to 88 degrees, all within the same island chain. And their corals and their marine life were just stunning. No coral disease, no bleaching, and they haven't had any at all over the past recent time. And so what I found out in these areas where the corals are doing well, they're going through daily, weekly, and yearly temperature changes that are way more dramatic than the temperature changes, for instance, off of the Great Barrier Reef or off of the North Shore of Kauai, where a lot of the corals have died. So, you know, it leads me to believe that our oceans and our coral reefs may be stressed out due to an increase in sea temperature, but I really don't believe that that's a case that's killing the animals. And the other thing in common with everywhere we went, Jeff, everywhere, from Palau to Indonesia to the southern Philippines, everywhere we went, there was no, and I mean zero, underwater military submarine activity.
Yes.
None of them.
That's the crux of the biscuit right there. And
it's really, I tell you, as much as I didn't want to believe it, but when you're a scientist and you look at something day in and day out for 15 years and it keeps showing up in front of your face, well, then sooner or later you start to think outside the box a little bit. But the bottom line is that the areas of the coral reefs that have died on the planet over the last 5 years, and the areas where we have the largest amount of whales and dolphins beaching themselves and dying, are indeed areas of active Navy underwater electromagnetic weapons testing areas.
Yes. Well, look,
that's just the bottom line. You can look at the permits that the governments give to their militaries, and those permits are in exact areas where we're having the environmental damage at.
Yes. Well, let me ask you this. Could we possibly get Stuart Simonson to help us come up with a map or a series of maps or charts that show exactly what you're talking about, that show these primary areas, maybe like, for example, around Hawaii, around the west coast of North America, around the Great Australian, the Great Barrier Reef, and around the Tasman Sea and around New Zealand, that show either areas where we know that the naval undersea operations are taking place, or where it's suspected that they're taking place, because we can't really know where the submarines are.
Yeah, you know what, Jeff? We actively are working on that right now, and I'll have a lot of good material coming up soon. And I'm working on that detailed map right here in Kauai. And let me tell you another bit of information since the last time we talked. If you look, and I have articles from Peru to the United Kingdom where whales and dolphins have come up onto the beach and died in large numbers, their governments have admitted that those are military training areas. So we have actually a lot of articles from many different countries now where their own government has admitted it. But it's easier for me to track what's going on here in the United States because I work with people in the U.S., Congress people, senators, and a lot with the media here, the big newspapers and TV news. And so I have access to a lot of information of what the U.S. military is doing. I don't have as much access to what the Australian Royal Navy's doing or Japanese submarine navy or, New Zealand Navy. But here in Hawaii, on the north shore of Kauai and the north shore of Oahu, the U.S. military admitted, and I do have the maps, that they were training and doing underwater submarine electronic war training and surveillance along the two north shores of Oahu and Kauai. They started in 2012. Now, I have a map that I'm putting together right now for a TV series. It may even be on National Geographic. And this map is showing where the coral reefs died on the north shore of Kauai and north shore of Oahu from 2012 to 2018. And we're overlaying that map, and it overlays perfectly to the Navy training. Now, something really big happened over the last year that I haven't even shared with you yet. In 2012 to 2015, the North Shore of Kauai, we lost about 90% of our corals. And as you know from talking to professional chemists like Stuart Simonson, that these corals not only died, but they dissolved, and we now know that an electrical discharge from the Navy submarines very well could have caused these corals to die.
Yes, he calls it corrosion.
Yeah, we haven't proven it yet, and I'll fill you in a minute on some grants we have coming in the near future where it looks like we are going to be able to prove this. But I'll give you some circumstantial evidence, pretty powerful. I met with the U.S. military here in Kauai in late 2015. I presented to them all of my underwater movies showing where the corals had died in their underwater submarine weapons testing area. The military admitted that they were testing in that area, and the timeline was correct about when the testing was and when the corals died. They didn't admit killing the reef because they openly said they didn't have anybody underwater monitoring their activities on the coral reefs and marine life.
Yes, because if they were, they might get electrocuted.
But, well, that being said, they admitted their activity was there, and they admitted the timeline of which I documented the die-off of the corals.
Yes.
What the military said they were going to do in Kauai, and they did it. They said they were going to move offshore with their submarine activity and warfare training. They're going to move offshore 30 miles. Now, guess what? In the last year and a half to 2 years, the corals along the north shore of Kauai are all growing back.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes.
The entire coastline has erupted with trillions of new baby corals. And this timeline is exactly when the Navy said they stopped doing the training near shore.
Yes. Well, this is a perfect example of how, you know, like if you remove, if you're sick, if you can remove the cause of what's making you sick, you can heal and come back even better. So it's a perfect example of if we can stop all this stuff, then.
Absolutely, Jeff. And get this one. The coral started growing back in 2015 all the way through to 2018, and they're still growing great right now. The coral started growing back during the time we had an elevated sea temperature when other folks were claiming that's killing coral reefs.
Yes.
So there was two things that didn't fit the picture here. Now, the other really powerful point here, really powerful point, and I just did a movie about it called Save the Reefs, and I've got two other movies that are coming out in the near future. On the north shore of Oahu, okay, where our famous surfing spots are, Pipeline, Sunset, Waimea Bay, the north shore of Oahu, they're still today doing the underwater submarine and helicopter weapons testing on the north shore of Oahu. Now, Kauai, we got them to move offshore, and the corals are growing back. Oahu, they're still testing close to shore, and guess what? The entire reef system along the north shore of Oahu has died.
Yes.
It is dead as of today.
Yes.
I just got done doing a full movie, on a documentary movie on this a month ago.
Well, that is so fantastic. Now, look, let me ask you this. You posted an article a week or two ago saying that Lockheed has just been awarded something like a $500 million contract to install a new radar defense installation at the north shore of Oahu. Is that correct?
Yeah, but it's either going to be on the north shore of Kauai or the north shore of Oahu. And by the way, under U.S. law, all of these new radar, Aegis radar systems, all of them, and the entire Navy underwater electronic and microwave weapons program is illegal. All of them, because they've never done an environmental impact statement to see the effect of all of these on our endangered species. So we're petitioning our Congress to get these operations all stopped. But the bottom line is, what we found out, Jeff, and it's really apparent, and you're really seeing it a lot right now in the media because of the new 5G cell towers that they want to put in all throughout the world. Now, the 5G cell towers operate on enhanced microwaves, about 150 watts. What people are realizing right now, that all of the military activity in Hawaii is protected by a grid work of microwaves. These Aegis radar stations put out a massive amount of microwaves in the hundreds of millions of watts for surveillance purposes. So what they're doing, like for instance, it just came out in the news a week ago that Kauai now, our military base in Kauai, is armed with nuclear weapons. Now tell me that isn't absolutely insane. So how do they protect those nuclear weapons? And how do they protect their microwave warfare weapon system here from being spied on by the Chinese, Russians, North Koreans, and Iranians and other folks?
Well, look,
they protect all of this by laying out a net of very dangerous microwaves, which keeps other people from spying on the military operation.
Yes, and what you're talking about is one of the, maybe about, when you research into, a lot of people use the word HAARP, which was sort of like the prototype microwave ionospheric heater, of which it's now morphed and mutated and developed into many other sort of more smaller integrated mobile technologies. But it's really, it's the technology itself. But that's one of the sort of dozen Jason thinks that it can do is to create sort of a protective shield. And I believe a lot of this research originated back with the Reagan administration with the Strategic Defense Initiative and the Strategic Computing Initiative, where they were talking about this his Star Wars shield, you know, and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And it's all come to fruition. But let me ask you this. As part of not only in terms of creating a shield or a surveillance network, if we're looking at the whole paradigm of geophysical warfare or environmental modification, which you and I know has been a reality for a long time, I wanted to ask you if you thought, because of the coincidental timing of these historical level floods and other weird weather events, as well as that volcanic eruption on the Big Island last year, all of it happened to coincide just right before RIMPAC was coming. Do you see any connection there?
Well, yeah, and matter of fact, as a scientist, I think I could probably actually prove that connection if we had, you know, the support from the rest of the scientific community. In Hanalei, where I live, we had 51 inches of rain in a 24-hour period of time. And so I'll just have to explain a little bit just about weather. I mean, anybody out there on the planet that understands weather, I could realize that that was a very unnatural storm. Now, when we had the NOAA guys, you know, all the weather reporting agencies that were studying that storm, they said that that storm stalled on top of the mountains for 12 hours without moving. Now, we all know that the Earth is spinning. We all know that weather is created by the Earth trying to equalize pressures on the planet. Now, we all know if you study meteorology, you cannot have a gigantic electrical storm stall in one place on one mountain without moving for 12 hours.
Not without some help.
In Hawaii, it's never been documented as far as I know of anywhere in the world. But it just so happens that on the far side of the mountain from Hanalei is the Navy's Star Wars weapons production facility. And there's 26 high-intensity microwave towers there, beaming out microwaves up to satellites to use for weaponry. And if an electrical storm goes over the facility, it deactivates it because microwaves reflect off of thunderclouds. So this electrical storm in Hanalei, if it would have gone over the mountain like it normally would have, we probably would have had 10 inches of rain, not 50, and the town wouldn't have got wiped out like it did. But the storm stalled because we obviously know that they are very adept at the HAARP program, and they're very willing and very capable at stalling and moving around storm systems so they don't go over their precious Star Wars military operation. I think it's very obvious that that's what happened here.
Well, now let me ask you this. Some of the more far-reaching mentalities, there was this guy named... His name is Dr. Salas, L-A-S-A-L-A-S or something like that. And he was, whenever this volcanic eruption was happening on the Big Island last year, when I was there when it started, this guy was writing all these articles talking about how he was sure that the, you know, that geothermal plant there at Puna, he thought that that was part of some kind of secret military thing where they had been drilling down into the volcano and that they were behind that eruption. And I, as much as I believe something like that might be possible, I didn't see any evidence myself because for example, the sort of straight line in which all those fissures appeared was kind of the same as the one from about 20 years before when I don't even think that plant was there, you know. So, but it's not. I mean, I'm asking what you'd think, because I'm sure, would you agree that if they thought that they could do something like that, that they would try it?
Well, put it this way, I think it's pretty obvious that the U.S. military and the military industrial complex companies like McDonnell Douglas and Raytheon and a number of other big companies are trying to harness the Earth's energy They're also trying to harness microwaves produced by the solar system and the sun to use for weaponry. You know, they're fairly open about that. So what exactly they're doing to try to harness geothermal energy, or what they're doing here in Hawaii to try to harness the natural microwave energy or the earth energy that comes up through the island itself, you know, God only knows. But we know that they're active involved in those programs. Now, when it came to the volcano, I guess the main thing that one would have to know is Kilauea volcano erupts fairly often over geologic time. And this eruption that happened was not anything out of the unusual.
Yes.
Now, was it stimulated by the geothermal plant dickering around down in the fissure system? You know, I mean, I've got a background in geology. I guess that's altogether possible. But the bottom line was, is the volcanic activity that's happened is relatively natural for the Big Island.
Yes.
But the storm that happened in Kauai was twice as big as any recorded storm in the history of the Hawaiian Islands, the biggest of its kind anywhere in the world. It was a totally unnatural storm that no one's ever seen before, and it just happened to happen right beside the Star Wars weapons base on the west side of Kauai.
Absolutely.
You know, I think you have something there that obviously needs to be looked at. And, you know, all people have to do, you know, Jeff, I get any more on Facebook and stuff when people say, you know, Terry, prove that the GS weapon systems are harming the environment, or prove that microwaves can kill whales, or prove that the military's doing underwater electromagnetic weapon testing that can kill a coral reef and 100 dolphins at a time. I just simply say back now, you know, it's not my job to prove all that stuff. Just go talk to Mr. Google.
Yes.
All you got to do is Google this stuff, and Raytheon boasts about it all.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I don't think that doctors, I don't think that the medical community could even actually say for sure that you can prove that smoking cigarettes causes lung cancer. But what could be more, or that working at the nuclear power plant's going to give you cancer? But I mean, but what, you know, there's this thing called common sense.
I know. It's, you know, one thing that's good about this 5G cell tower issue, Jeff, I'll have to tell you, I have been griping and complaining about the military weaponization of microwaves for many, many years now, as you know, and we've talked about it on your radio show a half dozen times. You know, Raytheon is the one that produced the microwave that everyone uses in their homes, and they produce the microwave weapon, the microwave radar tower. All you have to do is just Google Raytheon, and you could read up all about it. But what's good about this 5G technology, and not good about it happening, but what's good about the awareness, is every day in the media there are now lawsuits and studies popping up all around the world showing how dangerous this 5D technology is to the health of human beings.
Yes.
And we're only talking about 150 watts of microwave.
Yes, because it's ultra high, it's high frequency. Look, let me share this with you. In 1990, when I was living in Boulder, Colorado, I was friends with this, he was a vibrational medicine researcher named Vernon Rogers, and he was being funded by the Carnegie Mellon Institute, and he was doing research on vibrational medicine and healing and stuff. And in 1990, he warned me about the research that the military was doing with what he called millimeter waves, and that's exactly what 5G is.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been trying to really push here, actually I did a whole radio show this morning about it out of Seattle, Washington, about the effects of the military and killing the orcas up there, is to get out to people that when we have whales and dolphins and sea turtles and other animals wash up dead on shore, like the gray whales that are washing up dead on shore by the dozens right now on the west coast of the United States, is that these animals need to be tested for heart enzyme levels. They need to be tested for nitrogen in their blood. They need to be tested for mineral counts in their cell tissue.
Electrolytes.
Now, the reason why I say that is electromagnetic weaponry underwater in microwaves leaves a signature on a dead animal. Now, what's happening is when these whales are washing up in Dolphin, that the military and groups like NOAA that are supposed to enforce the law, they're only checking these whales and dolphins for effects of sonar.
Well, but
not necessarily sonar that's killing these animals. It's electromagnetic weapons.
Absolutely, yes. But also, there's this tremendous amount of stuff about how they're all found with stomachs full of plastic, and which I'm sure the plastic thing is a problem. But I think they're using that as part of their. It's a way to detract from looking at a more even real probable cause. Do you think?
If you actually look at the dead whales and dolphins that have been studied, absolutely, a few of them have been found to be packed filled with plastic, but that's only very, very few, Jeff.
Yes.
And I'm sure those whales and dolphins are probably more centrally located in the plastic gyre areas where there's a big concentration of plastic floating around at sea.
Yes.
And that all needs to be fixed big time, and that's a horrible thing. And us humans need to be cleaning up our plastic problem on Earth. But the bottom line is, if you look at the actual report on all of these animals, they come back. The only thing that they found, like on the gray whales, they just simply say, the animals appear to be dying due to lack of food.
Yes.
Now, they're not doing necropsies, an animal autopsy. They're not doing blood tests. They're not doing the proper studies that could show exactly why these animals are dying.
Yes.
They're covering all of that up. They're just saying they're dying because of lack of food. And then they go as far as saying, and I quote, they say, it's all because of climate change.
Absolutely.
There's no food on the West Coast for them to eat.
Absolutely.
But if you study the West Coast of the United States right now, they're having a huge boom in anchovies and sardines and krill, the very animals that the gray whales eat to stay healthy and alive.
Yes.
So there's not a correlation between a lack of food and starving whales. Why are these whales going into San Francisco Bay? Why are they all getting away from the coastline? Because of the submarine electronic weapons testing. All you got to do is pull the permits from NOAA, and you can see where they're testing, and it's the same darn areas the whales are trying to get out of.
Yes. Well, look, Terry, let me ask you this. If you were able to find somebody who was able to go and conduct these necropsies on some of these whales, if you could find somebody that could be on our side that would do that in a real way, could NOAA and the Navy prevent them from doing it?
Absolutely, 100%.
But
let me just tell you a quick story on that one, Jeff. I've almost been arrested as a biologist 4 times here on Kauai trying to examine dead whales. The last time, a little over a year ago in the Willy Willy Harbor, that's right, I don't think we've even talked since that happened, Jeff, but it's about a year and a half ago now, where I used to live on the east or the west side or east side of Kauai. There's a harbor called the Willy Willy Harbor. It's by the airport. Now, I lived on a research boat at the time. That morning, I woke up in the morning, and I got a call from some local fishermen, and they said there's a Navy ship right outside of the harbor about 3-4 miles out. And I said, take some pictures of it, and they did. And sure enough, the Navy ship was launching some underwater drones that they're using in the electronics weapon testing. We know what the drones look like. We know what the drone ship looks like. And so they were launching drones. So I said right back to the fishermen that day, I go, well, you watch. We're going to have a bunch of dead whales wash up on shore. Sure enough, 5 o'clock that afternoon, we had 20 pilot whales came into the harbor, and 5 of them died on the beach.
For real? Well, look, now, what are these drones...
Well, get this one, Jeff. out of the ones that were in the harbor and still remained alive, I wanted to go out of my research boat and take video of their behavior, because whales, just like people that have been electrocuted, exhibit a certain type of behavior. Also, whales that are scared out of deep water and they come up into shallow water too quickly will get nitrogen narcosis, and they will exhibit a certain type of behavior and muscle spasms. So I went to go out on my own boat in a legal harbor to take video of the dying whales, and Noah surrounded my boat and me and ordered me out of the area at gunpoint.
Were you filming this?
Yes. I do have film of this, by the way.
Well, that's good.
Illegal. They can't keep a U.S. citizen out of their own house, which was my boat, on a legal harbor when I wasn't doing anything illegally.
Exactly.
And I did take video of them ordering me out of the area, and then the DLNR police secured the entire area and put up roadblocks so I couldn't even go in and video the dying whales.
Well, Terry, you yourself might be the reason for that 51 inches of rain.
I know.
They wanted to wash you away. They wanted to wash you away. But look, let me ask you this. Like with any law, a law and a regulation can be fully legal and valid on paper, but the bottom line is, if it's not able to be enforced, then essentially it's meaningless or gratuitous. And so I would ask you, even though we've got solid prima facie evidence of all these completely illegal activities that are being conducted by the militaries and stuff, how could we possibly enforce? Who could leverage anything against them to make them obey the law? Isn't that the bottom line that we're dealing with?
Well, yeah, but let me go to the positive here, because it's not all negative, by the way. Due to my griping and complaining to a lot of politicians, by the way, and, you know, as you know, I even work with Tulsi Gabbard, who's running for president.
Doesn't she dive with you?
Yeah, she actually went out in person and went scuba diving or free diving with me and documented all the dying corals herself in person. And so there's a lot of awareness, and there's a lot of politicians right now that are on the hot seat for this. So what happened here in Hawaii, because of all of the, you know, scientific data that we've been bringing forward, the military just gave to the University of Hawaii $30 million to study the effects of their underwater submarine activity in the Hawaiian Islands on our marine life.
So they're
getting caught up in all of this stuff, and the politicians know it. This information's getting out to the public, and the military is somewhat on the hot seat over this right at this point in time. So there is some good stuff going forward. The other good thing is, too, is we have a number of different research groups that look like are going to come to Hawaii, and they're not actively studying the military, but they're going to be doing chemical and electronic studies out on the coral reef, of which could show things that are happening that later on that could be related to military activities.
So. Yes, well, let's hope. Back to the University of Hawaii that was given the $30 million to study the military's effects on the corals. Can you name any of the names of those researchers who might be involved with that?
You know what? I can't at this moment, but I have all their names coming in.
I'd like to learn about that.
Two other universities right now. Important, well-known universities that are already putting in their applications as we speak right now, and I'm a part of this, to be joint venture with UH on studying the effects of the military operations.
And what universities are that?
And they're already putting in requests right now for how the studies are going to be done, who's going to be doing the studies, and for the request for having those studies shared with these other universities.
What are those other universities?
I don't want to say at this point in time, because I don't want to interfere with their process right now. So We all know about this grant. We all know about what's going on. We all know and will know who's going to be leading the studies, and we're going to demand that those studies are released to the public. And we're also going to ask in a polite way that outside researchers be involved in the actual studies. So there's a checks and balance system. That's all in the process right now. We just had a conference call on that just about 2 days ago.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you not think that when people start accepting large amounts of money, that they become beholden to whoever it was that gave the money, whether this is conscious or unconscious, that the findings...
It's very conscious. Look at Monsanto was the one that gave money to the University of Hawaii to do the first genetic engineering.
Exactly. I mean, well, yes. And so, what I'm saying is the findings.
To all kinds of universities to do the genetic engineering, and then to come up with studies saying that it wouldn't harm people.
Exactly. But that's what happens. They go like, well, we studied all the radiation, like Woods Hole. They studied all the radiation in the Pacific from Fukushima, but the conclusion was that it's all at safe levels. And so the same thing can be happening with this microwave thing. They're going to go like, look, sure, it's all there, but it's safe. It can't possibly harm anything. But we did the study.
Well, Jeff, you're absolutely right on that, and that's the way it has been in the past. But I think that the politicians, the public, is very much aware of how that system works when big companies or the government give money to the universities so they can sway the science in their favor. So we're all very much aware of that. And I think that we're going to be able to keep that from happening in this case, Jeff.
Well, I hope so. But look, let me ask you this. If you're involved with this, do you think you might be able to channel some of that money into, remember before me and you and Stuart talked about the necessity of having independently operated instrumentation that can measure ambient microwave and electromagnetic fields, have that actually out there that's under your own control and under your own calibration?
Absolutely. We're putting in a request for that right now. And I'm likely to have some information about that within the next 30 days or so. That very much needs to happen. There has to be the independent testing going on at the same time for checks and balance. And so we are putting in a request for all of that. Now, if all of those requests are denied, then I think that'll answer the question that this won't be good scientific information, and it'll be kept under the table for the use of the military and not for the use of, you know, helping to save our oceans. So we're very much on top of that, Jeff, and as I get new data and info, I'll let you know, and we're not going to sit back. I mean, there's a lot of powerful groups out there right now. I mean, it's like, I just did an hour-long presentation with Paul Watson, you know, from Sea Shepherds. And for the first time, I got to go on the airways in front of 750,000 people with Paul and introduce the electromagnetic submarine warfare program and how that's killing our marine life. And even Paul wasn't aware of that, so... We're bringing up a lot of awareness now, Jeff. There's a lot of people that are understanding the relationship here, and mass effect is going to happen. You know, we are going to get the studies done, and the stuff's going to get out in the open.
But look, let me tell you something about Paul Watson. I told that dude personally in Belgium about a lot of this stuff in the year 2007, 2008. And they blew me off. They didn't want to hear it.
Well, I think one thing about all that stuff, Jeff, is timing. I've known Paul and the Sea Shepherds crew for a long time, and they've had their plate very much full with just the activities that they've been doing with the Japanese whaling and now with the porpoise issue down in the Gulf of Mexico. And these guys, I mean, they really do really good work with what they do. They really had in the past not wanted to branch out into
reality
of, you know, detriment to our whale population, but that seems to be changing right now, and their ears are wide open, and so I've been working with them and kind of introducing that stuff with them.
Have you heard of a DARPA program called the Ocean of Things?
Well, I'm not by that name. I'm aware of what the DARPA program was here in Kauai, and also aware of that here in Kauai there has been many secret military programs there that are not even paid for out of the Pentagon, by the way.
Yes.
So there's been all kinds of secret military operations going on here in Kauai for years.
Well, now, let's go.
I'm sure there's all kinds of crazy programs that we don't even know about.
Exactly. Look, let's go back to the a minute ago you were talking about there was a drone vessel that released all these drones. And so what exactly were they supposed to be doing?
Say again, Jeff, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. I didn't hear.
Yes, you mentioned a drone vessel that released all these underwater drones.
What kind of vessel?
The drone vessel.
Oh, the drone.
Yeah, what were they supposed to do?
Well, get this one. The military, you know where I get all this information from? You're going to laugh. From front cover articles on the Honolulu Star Advertiser newspaper.
Well, but they're good. You post those.
People only have to pay attention to the newspaper. It came out a year ago, and I've got the article somewhere. It came out a year ago, front page article. The U.S. Navy has the first underwater drone warfare squadron in the world in Hawaii. We have 350 underwater drones that are weaponized with electromagnetic weapons. They go around Hawaii, and it's the first drone squadron, and they're all controlled by helicopters from up above the water.
Well, what are they targeting?
Who knows? The one thing we know that they're doing, we know that there are two things that they said in the article. Number one was for surveillance for enemy submarines. Okay. So these drones go around the island and they look for Chinese and Russian submarines that are coming too close to the Hawaiian Islands. Now, number two, if you read up on these drones right from Raytheon, Raytheon's got a good webpage on them, these drones put out an electronic current 12 nautical miles around each drone. So that makes a surveillance net so they can pick up electrical signals that are being, you know, zoomed in by foreign submarines.
Yes.
So this electrical net that goes out around these drones, we feel is causing an electrical discharge into the coral reef and killing the corals.
Yes. Well,
and can easily give a whale or a dolphin a heart seizure.
Yes. Well, back to the Ocean of Things thing, the program that I read about is involved in, they want to basically weaponize undersea organisms, whether it's fish or octopus or phytoplankton, and change their electromagnetic operation at the cellular level so that they become antennas, that they can link all this together and use the living organisms themselves as the sensor network.
You know what? You can even Google and find that information out.
Yes.
Raytheon is doing all kinds of stuff like that. They're even building... I read one article, Jeff, where Raytheon, I believe it was Raytheon, was building an underwater whale.
Yes, yes.
A humpback whale, a robotic humpback whale that will swim with the pods of whales and mimic a whale so it won't be picked up and detected by enemy submarines.
Yes, I believe this. And guess what? I wrote a comedy science fiction novel back in 1989, and in it was a robotic whale.
Yeah, I mean, that's all real. And again, this isn't stuff that I made up. I just do research all the time.
Yes.
And read what these, you know, military industrial complex companies are doing.
Terry, you know what you should do?
They're open about all this stuff.
You know what you need to do?
Stuff.
You should write a science fiction novel based on all this stuff.
I know.
But just tell the truth and it'll be science fiction.
Well, I think I told you once before, Jeff, that we already have a year-long series that was supposed to be shown on National Geographic. It was supposed to air in 2016. It's called Reef Madness, after the old, you know, saying Reefer Madness. And so the TV series is called Reef Madness, and it brings out all of these issues. We've already filmed most of it, by the way. And it was supposed to air on Nat Geo in 2016. We had a contract from National Geographic. And it was called the first reality scientific TV show. And then Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox News, bought National Geographic and canceled the show. The show was going to expose the military-industrial complex with all of these issues. And as you know, Rupert Murdoch's highly invested in the military-industrial complex. So the show got canned, and we recently have the rights to the show back right now. So we may end up putting it out on a different network. But all of this stuff is pretty much ready to come out.
That's fantastic. Well, now, are all the whales coming, are the humpback whales coming through Hawaii now?
No. Matter of fact, once again, kind of no small brainer. I'll just give you an update on Hawaiian humpback whales. The bottom line is, over the past 2 years, we've had a decline in the whales visiting the Hawaiian Islands. And this year it was down in Kauai like 70%. Same with Oahu. Maui seems to be the only island that still the humpbacks are visiting on a regular basis. And guess what?
There's no military Maui. There.
Yeah, Maui's the only island that the military openly says they're not doing their submarine warfare training at.
All this stuff just adds, it adds right up, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I mean, it's really affecting the tour industry here. You know, people are biting the dust when it comes to the whale charters and the whale watching tours here on Oahu and Kauai. And you know, for us that are out in the water every day seeing a humpback whale right now, there were 10,000 humpback whales that came to Kauai, and they started tracking them, by the way. They've got a lot of GPS tracking systems on them. And what they found is that the whales primarily come down to the Big Island first. And then they go and visit the entire Hawaiian island chain. And then once they get to Kauai on the north end, then they circle back up to Alaska. And so they've been able to really show right now the pattern of where these whales go in Hawaii. And they're simply not visiting the other islands, which happens to have an increase in submarine weapons training underwater. So the more submarines and drones they add to the water here, the less whales we have. And come on, I mean, isn't that only logical? What whale is going to want to come to Kauai and give birth when it's, you know, being bombarded by electronic weaponry and sonar? I mean,
exactly.
Big smart animals. They're going to go somewhere else in the world to give birth.
Exactly. Well, look, let me ask you this. We could be hitting on, this could be the new tourism trend in Hawaii. It could be people going out on tours to spot submarines.
I know. Absolutely. I mean, very much so. And I'll have to tell you about what happened to me the other day, because I put it up on Facebook and the movie went ballistic worldwide. I was out scuba diving myself the other day, about a month ago, and found two sea turtles that appeared to be dead. Both of them sprawled out on the bottom of the seafloor. They weren't responsive when I touched them. Their heads were out. Now, I can't prove that the turtles were dead because I'm not allowed to actually pick it up and bring it to shore. But, you know, I'm a marine biologist, and I've seen thousands of turtles, and I shot video of all this, by the way. I mean, I put it on Facebook. And then, while I was checking out the dead turtles, all of a sudden, I got blasted by sonar from a submarine. And, Jeff, it was so intense that it produced a shockwave underwater that actually spun me sideways.
Yes, I saw your footage. You were disoriented for about 30 seconds.
Yep. And there was 14 blasts. It caused all the fish to go crazy. It caused me to be disoriented underwater while I'm scuba diving, which is incredibly dangerous. There were four other divers in the water. They all had the same effects. We all got out of the water right away, and these other divers were scared out of their entire wits. And I captured the whole thing on video. And you know, send it off to all of our congresspeople with a huge complaint. So, you know, it's not just the whales and the dolphins that are suffering from all this stuff. It's taking a whole toll on human health. But once again, you know, with shows like the radio show we're doing right now and with Facebooks, like one of my movies that I posted not too long ago, Jeff, I got 7 million views on. So, you know, people are paying attention to this stuff. And the word's getting out there, and they're starting to wake up with what the military's doing to our ocean. And I think there's going to be some good positive outcry happening.
Yes. Well, look, let me ask you this. I was, because of the presence of Lockheed here in New Zealand, Lockheed Martin is apparently, I started doing some research into it, they're the largest defense contracting entity on the planet. And apparently their economic and political clout is greater than all but about a dozen and a half countries on the whole planet. And so they control New Zealand's military. They control cybersecurity for the Pentagon and the U.S. government. They make nuclear missiles. They make the underwater electronic stuff and all different kind of stuff. And I just wanted to ask you, do you think it would be an exaggeration to say that Lockheed is actually closer to being the president of the United States than Donald Trump?
Well, way more so, and has been for a long time. Matter of fact, I believe it's Lockheed. It may be McDonnell Douglas, but I think it was Lockheed. One of the two, by the way, right now, is getting approval to joint venture into one company with Raytheon, by the way. I don't know if you saw that in the news the other day.
No, I haven't seen that.
Donald Trump got up and said, this is the greatest thing to ever happen for militaries around the world. These companies are way more powerful than individual governments. I think they very much run the presidency of the United States. And it's a big problem. I mean, it's one of the reasons why warfare in the world is so profitable. And warfare right now is the best way to make money for, you know, big companies anywhere in the world. And all of this stuff has got to come to an end because it's not sustainable.
Well, look, so do you know Tulsi, how do you pronounce her last name, Gabbard?
Gabbard.
Do you know her very well?
You know, relatively well. I mean, I know her background, her history as a diver and a surfer, and I know her kind of personally. And
what would she say?
Everything.
What would she say about what we're talking about right now?
Oh, she's already said it, and you're going to see it in the presidential debate. She's the only one in the world that's going to bring it up. I mean, she's already said that these proxy wars that are led by the U.S. military and the military-industrial complex companies have got to end. They're going to destroy the planet. She's the only one running for president of the United States that openly talks about that. She's also said, in person, by the way, and in the media here in Hawaii, that the military-industrial complex companies here in Hawaii are out of control, and they need to be reined in because they're harming the environment.
Yes. Well, look.
Nobody else says this, Jeff. I mean, so she's getting away with it, and she's bringing it out. And I think you're going to see a lot of this kind of rhetoric come out in the debates here pretty soon.
Well, that's fantastic. But look, while you're in Australia, you need to go to this place called Woomera. It's in South Australia. It's an area the size of Texas that the government sold to Raytheon to develop the world's most advanced weapons testing facility.